여러분 people are trying to control birth, but they're not able to control death. And if they cannot control death, one cannot control birth either. In other words, artificially controlling birth is not any more feasible than artificially controlling death. According to Vedic civilization, procreation should not be contrary to religious principles, and then the birth rate will be controlled. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.11, Dharma Virudha Bhute Sukhamu Smi, sex, not contrary to religious principles, is a representation of the Supreme Lord. People should be educated in how to give birth to good children through samskaras, beginning with the Garbhadana samskara. Birth should not be controlled by artificial means, for this will lead to the civilization of animals. If one follows religious principles, he automatically practices birth control because if one is spiritually educated, he knows that the after effects of sex are various types of misery. Bahudukamaja. One who is spiritually advanced does not indulge in uncontrolled sex. Therefore, instead of being forced to refrain from sex or refrain from giving birth to many children, people should be spiritually educated, and then birth control will automatically follow. If one is determined to make spiritual advancements, he will not beget a child unless able to make that child a devotee. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.18, one should not become a father unless one is able to protect his child from mrityu, past the birth and death. But when there is education about this, a responsible father never begets children like cats and dogs. Instead of being encouraged to adopt artificial means of birth control, people should be educated in Krishna consciousness, because only then will they understand their responsibility to their children. If one can beget children who will be devotees and be taught to turn aside from the path of birth and death, mritya samsara nivartmani, there is no need of birth control. Rather, one should be encouraged to beget children. Artificial means of both birth control have no value. Whether one begets children or does not, a population of men who are like cats and dogs will never make human society happy. It is therefore necessary for people to be educated spiritually, so that instead of begetting children like cats and dogs, they will undergo austerities to produce devotees. This will make their life successful. Om Janati Varma Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sita Vidyara Srimati Vidyara Matarinda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare.
So I was thinking, upon reading this book, how glorious is the Grihastha Ashram. It is a wonderful ashram. Grihasthas are most exalted personalities, undoubtedly very heroic people. People who, rather than to just follow the common path, are ready to take up on themselves a great mission, a mission to declare war upon Maya, a mission to conquer the senses, a mission to not allow lust to take control, although lust is there, a mission which is therefore not easy, because naturally lust is very strong and very powerful. The scriptures are explaining how to deal with an enemy. The Skanda Purana, in the Skanda Purana, Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, is speaking. And Brihaspati is explaining that danda, or violence, is being used with an enemy who is totally vicious. Danda, sama, trying to pacify an enemy, that is done with an enemy who is basically a decent person. somehow or other there is an end. Yes, one tries to make some sense and work it out. A person who is greedy, right, there, of course, is dana, wealth. Right? Some profit must be there for this person, then he can be pacified. And somebody who's an enemy who's afraid, right, then we can do beya, rule, divide, politics, to make him feel weaker in his position than he won't dare to do anything. Like this, there is politics. So this is Brihaspati's explanation of how to deal with an enemy. Srila Baladeva Dijabhushan takes this explanation of the Skanda Purana and applies it to the verse Kama Hesa Krodesa Raja Gunasa Mudbhava in his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. And Srila Baladeva Dijabhushan explains that, well, who are we dealing with? Mahapadma, Mahasana. We're dealing with lust who is very sinful, very, very vicious. Srila Prabhupada did an interesting translation of the word vicious. He said vicious means full of vice. So Mahapadma, full of vice. So most voracious, Nitya Vairanam, the eternal enemy, Mahasana. So in this way, therefore, Srila Baladeva Dijabhushan points out that looking at the instructions of Brihaspati, the appropriate action towards lust is danda, brute force. There is no other option. That is the commentary of Srila Baladeva Dijabhushan. So, Grihasthas are wonderful personalities, because they are dedicating themselves to a path of dharma. They are walking the path of prescribed duty. It is described here that Krishni and Sutapa engaged in austerities for purifying themselves and controlling the senses. After Brahmana Abhisto, Brahmana, after receiving the order of a Brahmana, the original Brahmana, Lord Brahma, they received the order, they received the blessings. So this is another glorious feature of the Grihastha, that the Grihastha is not just engaging in sex life on the strength of passion. When suddenly some sex desire emerges, that is not the impetus. Yes, on a deeper level, obviously that sex desire may be a factor in the fact that the husbands are engaging in sexual activity. But they are not just acting on impulses. Rather, when they are desiring to beget a child, they are asking for blessings of superiors. Brahmana Abhistu, this is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 7th canto, that one must ask blessings, blessings of a superior, of the spiritual master. The Brahmana is the spiritual master of society. So in this way, one asks blessings of a spiritual authority. Because then everything will be auspicious. It makes a huge difference. If you read the Manasamhita upon these principles for begetting children, then many factors have a lot to do with it. For example, in the Manasamhita, before they describe how to conceive children, before that they give a description of marriage and different types of marriage. And they explain that when a marriage is properly performed, in the mode of goodness, on the basis of scriptural injunction, and properly arranged according to the mentality of both the man and the woman for creating a suitable match, then the conditions are favorable. But in a marriage, there are other types of marriage. The Gandharva marriage is sort of just happening. Yeah? It's the spontaneous marriage where, you know, somehow or other, boy takes girl's hand, right? And that's it. That counts as marriage. Only the hands ought to speak of everything else. So that is more governed by passion. And it is explained that the result is immediately less. In such a marriage, one cannot expect the same level to attract the same level of pious souls as in a properly arranged marriage. So it already begins, even before one gets married, even long before Garbhadhana Sanskara. Therefore, when one desires to get married in Krishna consciousness, then one must be prepared to wait. If someone needs to get married and is about to explode and start foaming at the mouth if he's not married immediately, that is in one sense a disqualification. Such a person better not get married. Better tie him up in the basement and let him out every once in a while. Lots of it, preferably. But what to do? To let somebody loose like that is destined to cause disturbance. Marriage, rather, should be something that should be entered into the mode of goodness, not by goodness, right? Yes, we have to get married. No, in the mode of goodness, right? Kind of with proper deliberation and good planning and good preparation. In that way, we should enter into the Grihastha Ashram. Understanding very well before what it means. We are going to remain together, hell or high water. No matter what happens, we will stick it out. Divorce is not an option. As simple as that. That commitment has to be there. One has to be mentally prepared. Srila Prabhupada speaks about fights in marriage. And he says that this is simply in the category of bhava-ramba lagu-kriya. It begins bhava-ramba with a lot of noise, but then in the end it just sort of fizzles out. It says like two goats fighting, Arjayuddha, two goats fighting, and a man, and they are fighting very seriously, and a man comes, ha! Goat. Right? That was easy to solve, two goats fighting. In the same way, marriage, a fight in marriage is also like that. And Prabhupada says, yes, sometimes they say, I will leave you! I will leave you! And sometimes they will say, I will kill you! Prabhupada is saying, and Prabhupada said, Bhavaram Balaku Kriya. A lot of noise in the beginning, but in the end, all leading to nothing. Because the commitment is there, such a deep commitment. So, how glorious is this? How glorious. It's not easy. It is not easy at all to live peacefully together. I myself have been in the Grihastha Ashram. Before I was a devotee, I was already with my former wife. And then we were together for 24 years, a long time. And in Vrindavan, we lived a simple life, and mostly we didn't fight too much over many things, but there was one thing that was causing a fight, and it was a little cupboard with two shelves inside, and my clothes were in there. And she had a thing about me closing the doors of the cupboards, Vrindavan Mangalarti starts with Dravak Samadhi at 10 past 4, so it's a little like, you know, it's the quick morning, right? Mm-hmm. It's like shower and dressing is fast, okay? And therefore, I didn't always close those doors. So that's sometimes caused agitation. She, on the other side, in the habit, God, only God knows why, to put my clothes in there, but each time on a different place. Sometimes the kurtas were on one corner, and the next day the dhotis were there. And then in the blind, in the morning, I grab a kurta, and it's a dhoti. So, you know, I've had moments that I said, for God's sake, you know, keep them in one place. I mean, the main actually, we had so many fights over that cupboard, actually. Until one day I realized it. It's the cupboard. It has to go. But the day I got rid of that cupboard, my life improved to that. Just see what material entanglements can do to you. These are the complexities of the Grihastha Ashram. But this is all our Ranga Lagu Kriya, right? We stay together. So it is really a position of sacrifice, the Grihastha Ashram. This is not an ordinary thing. To make a sacrifice will tolerate a lot. But that is how we take that as purification. And things are done according to prescribed duty. That means that one must be a selfless person, not a selfish person. Grihamedi is very self-centered. Therefore, within the Grihastha Ashram, in the relationship between man and woman, there is a different concept than in a materialistic relationship. Because in a materialistic relationship, we think, well, this person is here for my enjoyment. So, you know, well, get it together. A husband thinks this wife is meant to always look extraordinarily beautiful at any time. It doesn't matter what she does, she has to always look beautiful. She has to cook absolutely ambrosial nectar. Right? She has to keep the house perfectly clean. She has to be always in a good mood and always smile and be happy to see me and very humble also and basically do whatever I want and never argue with me, never talk back. Just say, yes, Prabhu. He may think like that. And if she doesn't, he'll pull out the Manu Samhita and read it out loud to her in a mood of get your act together. But Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining that such a materialistic mentality should not enter. Yes, the role of the wife is described that she should be always, try to be always pleasing to the husband. That is true. But she is considered in Srimad Bhagavatam like another half as good, a second half as good as the first half. Not the better half. I think that's in the West. That's flattery. I think so. That's materially motivated. But the other half. And what does it mean, the other half? It basically means that the needs of the wife or of the partner are as important as one's own. They're equally important as one's own. And they're given the same attention. Not like, well, what I feel, you know, my wife doesn't understand me, you know. She doesn't understand my needs, how I feel, you know. Same, my husband doesn't understand me, same thing. So that's self-centered. That's my needs, and I need to be understood. Why don't you understand me? What's wrong with you? Right? No, Yeah, obviously I don't understand you because I'm a totally different person. I can't figure out how you are made up. Absolutely. That I'll never figure out, you know. But, all right. No, I'll take you serious. So this is the spirit. And then it works. Then one can stay together. Then one can overcome that impossible hurdle called divorce. And those who do that are glorious. Those who actually stay together are glorious. And those who actually follow the regulated principles, they are glorious. And they're worshipable Vaishnavas. And they are certainly worthy of all respect. Therefore, the Grihastha Ashram is a glorious ashram. Of course, the Brahmachari Ashram is also a glorious ashram. Right? Because the Brahmachari basically says that, well, this life, I'll sacrifice it. This life is not for me. This life I'm not going to live for myself. I'll just sacrifice this life. This life I will give for my spiritual master. This life I will give for the pleasure of Krishna, and that's it. I'll sacrifice it. It's glorious. When Bhishma Dev was taking this position, the demigods were showering flowers. It was considered very glorious. The Brihat Vrata, the great vow. So that is undoubtedly glorious. Of course, mind you, Bhishma Dev took the vow for life. Was not just for a short time, but even a brahmachari who is brahmachari for some time, that is glorious. Upakurvana brahmachari is the Upakurvana brahmachari who knows that he will not stay a brahmachari. He knows that he will get married, but still he commits himself to the Brahmachari Ashram. He's not thinking, well, I'm going to get married anyway, so, you know, I may as well just accept that this Brahmachari is not for me, because I'm going to get married. No. He's also committing himself for some time to the Brahmachari Ashram, still knowing that he will get married. But he knows that I need this strength. I need to become selfless. I need to overcome just that egocentric tendency in myself that I want a perfectly controlled atmosphere according to my desire. My house, according to my taste, my pleasure, my comfort, and everything. I and my Ahamamati. Oh yes, I'm this body, by the way. I mean, my body. Yeah. Therefore, Brahma Achari means I am Brahma, Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahma Achari, one who behaves according to the understanding that we are Brahman, that we are eternal spirit souls, spiritual beings. Yes. So that we need to practice. Otherwise, it will never work. So undoubtedly, how glorious is the Brahmachari Ashram? How glorious to put one's own ego aside. And you say, I'll be a servant. It's not easy to be a servant. I'll be a servant. This is hard, very hard. Dante wrote better a king in hell than a servant in heaven. Yeah. It's there, yes. I recognize something. I recognize that tendency. So it's difficult. Difficult to just be a servant. Therefore, Brahmacharya Ashram is glorious. Well, then, Panchacharnam Vanam Brajet. Some get married, and then at the age of 50, it's finished. No more development of the Grihastha situation. Finished. Pancha Chordam Vanam Brajet. At that point, no more children, no more Bhagavan sanskars, is no longer expanding one's material arrangements. Tone it down. At age 50, tone it down. Simplify it. Now spend more time with spiritual life. Now spend time with austerity. Now visit holy places. Panchacholam vanam rajet. At the age of 50, take vanaprast. That's how that will be done. One can fill in. Some do it together as a couple and stay together. Some start out together, in due course of time separate. Some do it on their 50th birthday. Yeah. There's the cake with the 50 candles, and when the candles are blown out, that's it. They walk out of the door. Others, they are not timing it so exactly with a stopwatch, like Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was 57 when he actually took vanaprastha. But then he left his family. We remember. She sold his Bhagavatams for biscuits for the tea. It's a bit rough, isn't it? That was mean. She shouldn't have done that. And Prabhupada definitely gave her an ultimatum, tea or me. You know what she chose. They don't have tea. British Raj in India. Anyhow, that was enough for Prabhupada to leave. And he left home at age 57 and took vanaprastha. And then he lived separate from his family. Sometimes his sons were still coming and lamenting about the problems of the family. And Prabhupada made some arrangements and so on. And some more money and this, that. He kept that up. In fact, even they still came after he took sannyas. They still came. That's inappropriate. No son is allowed to come after sannyas. But still they did. And Prabhupada even then made some further arrangements for their comfort. But he was very careful and strict. He saw his sons, but he never saw his wife. He never went to see his wife again. He was strict in that way. Of course, in ISKCON, we saw that Tamal Krishna Maharaj took sannyas and describes then that his former wife was in Vrindavan and Tamal Krishna Maharaj stayed in Mathura. He didn't come to Vrindavan because his former wife was in Vrindavan. Can come, the temple is a neutral ground, etc. One in one corner, the other one in the other corner. Depends on the size of the temple, I guess, and a small temple in some kind, a little physical. Yes, ashram life is heroic life. Ashram life is for people who are very courageous. Because we make all kinds of promises. We don't know how we're going to do it. And will you not, and what are the four regulated principles that you promise to follow for the rest of your life without fail? No intoxication. And then the toughest one, of course. And we promise like that. And how do we know that we can do it? What guarantee do we have to do this for a lifetime? How do you know what you're going to be like in 15 years from now? You may be a different person. Totally changed. Now, everyone nicely, most of you are look like temple devotees, Kila, Dotis, Saris, etc. In 15 years, some of the brahmacharis may have a beard and a mustache. It may be, and the ladies like, kind of things in there. Okay, like, as I say, that's good. That's beyond me. But, yes, what guarantee do we have? What guarantee do we have? We have. How can we promise for our life? How can we oversee what we will be like? This is how it is. One must live by the moment. One must surrender now. Now we must be a surrendered servant of our spiritual master. Now we must accept the spiritual standards. Now we must be pure. Not, I will do it tomorrow. I'll surrender tomorrow. No, now. Because tomorrow, that's mañana. You know how it is, isn't it? Mañana, yeah. I'll surrender mañana. Mañana. Yeah. Mañana is still mañana. Like that. So we do that. No, we must surrender always in the now, always in the present. In the 60s, we had Ram Dass Baba and Richard Alpert, who went to America and who came back as a guru and who taught the philosophy, be here now. And everyone was going, wow. Because the whole idea was, this is the key to material enjoyment. Just enjoy it while you can, be here now, and then when you don't enjoy it, be somewhere else now. So that was the idea. Just this, wherever there's fun, that's where you go. Don't get attached. Be here now. That was the secret. But we say, be here now for Krishna. Right? That's as simple as it is. So in one sense, we must live in the present, and in the present, try our level best to be pure devotees. And then at the same time, we must have a long-term vision, a lifetime vision, I'm going to be a devotee for life. Lifetime. I'm going to live with these principles for life. I'm going to do it for life. And then, well, decide, that's a long journey. So what you're going to take, what you're going to put in your suitcase, you have to decide, you have to carry it. When you start packing a suitcase, at first you put everything in, then you lift the thing. Too heavy. Take some things out again. Like that. So when we look at our life also, whatever you take, you have to carry it. You take a marriage, you take a wife, or you take a husband, you have to carry it. Something, all those years, you have to do it. In Prabhupada's presence, the sannyasis, they got a lot of attention, so it was becoming quite popular to just go for it. Even if you had just gotten married yesterday, then the next day, sannyas. But Prabhupada would not encourage that. No, you've accepted life, now you must take care. Now you must take care. So like this, we must take responsibility, and that means the first principle of ashram is we must control our senses in all ashrams. I give the example, sex life once a month according to religious principle. Not easy. Think about it. You have a plate with 30 rasgullas. You can eat only one. That's trouble. That's trouble, because first of all, the eyes, they see 30, and you want more than one. And not only that, once you've eaten one, then the tongue starts going. Right? And then the tongue really wants a second one, and it's too quick. Right? It's already down the throat. Before you really taste it, then you want to taste one more time. Right? So further the anticipation. It's Rasgulla time. Rasgulla. Finally, right, there is. It is the time. Ooh, Rasgulla. And then it's already over, and the plate is still in front of you. not easy. It's not easy. There's 30 of us, have 30 and take only one of us through the program. It is not easy. How to do that? How to follow that? Not just on determination.
I shall do it. I will do it. I'll have only one.
And bite a piece of wood. That's very difficult. No, obviously, we'd better be controlled before the Raskulas come. We'd better already have, therefore, a deep absorption in spiritual activity. We'd better already be deeply absorbed in hearing, chanting, and devotional service. Isn't that the same we used to do when we were brahmacharis and brahmacharinis? Yes, the same, actually. It's the same. Grihastas have to do exactly the same what the brahmacharis are doing. Same program. Exactly the same, no difference. Gosh, you know, you thought, now I'll
change ashram. Da-di-da-di-da.
But it's not like that. It's not like that. It's not like that. That's the way of the deep end. Yes. Then you go, like, no, the same program. Same program, actually. So it's not too easy. One might think, well, you know, one might think that Hayagriva, who said to Srila Prabhupada, well, only once a month? Why bother? I said, that's right. One might think with Hayagriva like that. But then again, on the other hand, you're young, you want something, and before you know it, you're not going to get married. Okay, and then you have to have children. Right. No such thing, now we got married, we don't want children. Forget it. And scripture says children. And according to scripture, even one is not enough. Yeah, even a woman with one child is a barren woman. Yeah, said in scripture. And we know that from this Alabandara story, Yamunacharya. So, like that, the children, the whole thing, and why not? Why not have many children, but really work hard to make him Krishna conscious? Gosh, that's something. But it keeps you busy, at least. There's no doubt about it. And makes think twice about lust and everything. Because sex life, ultimately, it says here in the third word, the after effects of sex are various types of misery. Bhavu, dukkha, bhaja. So, a baby, right? Yes, various type of misery. Because why the babies don't come out of the womb singing, Mommy, I love you? They don't, right? They sing another song. And it's intense. They suffer. They suffer, and we suffer too. As they suffer, everybody has to suffer with them. Right? They don't suffer alone. And this is how it is. So the after effects of sex life are different types of suffering, if you think about it. And it's expensive also, right? It's quite expensive, right? The whole thing, to maintain a family, and before you know it, to work hard to pay for all that. So many types of misery are definitely the result of it. But we have to consider. Therefore, in the mode of goodness, one must, if one wants to enter into the Grihastha ashram, think twice, then. Because don't think, well, I'm agitated by sex desire, so
agitated by sex desire equals marriage.
Not necessarily. Just take shelter of devotional service. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do when you're disturbed by sex desire? Nothing. That's the best option. And then, well, if you really have to, you're going to get in trouble. But anyway, all right, if you really have to, all right, get in trouble then. But don't come complaining. No, come, but that's that's how it is. So we understand, but they already understand these things before, and therefore even when they go through the motions, they're strong, they're not overtaken, and they remain fixed, and they take shelter of the spiritual process, and in that way they can perform the Gargadana Samskara, in that way they can have good children, and then it's amazing to see how wonderful the Grihastha Ashram actually is, and how wonderful this movement is. Therefore, Grihastha is a glorious. All ashrams are glorious. In the ashrams, devotees take shelter of Krishna. Now, comments, questions.
Maharaj, along a little bit, and I was to ask questions. Is Srila Prabhupada, we can't manage our chant 54 hours because of our preaching activities. So we chant 15 hours. So the next line, once a month, is it adjusted for Western Vihasa? I just read on my inner scripture that sex life should be only for completing chant.
Yeah.
So this is what Srila Prabhupada adjusted for us.
Yeah. No, for having a child is not how Srila Prabhupada adjusted things. That is in the Manu Samhita.
Oh, okay.
In the Manu Samhita it is said that after the monthly cycle of the lady, 4 days are forbidden. Then from the first day to the 16th day, that is the auspicious period for engaging in sexual activity. But the 11th day and the 13th day are forbidden. Then if the Gargadana Samskara is performed on the even days, then one can attract a son. On the odd days, you can get a daughter. Calculate the whole thing. So quite a feat. One could say it's quite premeditated, the whole thing. It's quite premeditated, yes. So it's all there, in chapter 3 of the Manu Samhita.
So I'm not sure if I understand, but if you say it sounds to me that a Grihastha that allows to have sex life 12 times a month.
A year.
Sorry.
That's for the Freudian structure. Sometimes people, in the cartoons, you see people with a sport balloon above their head. And then sometimes people sit and they hide their innermost thoughts from each other. It's called privacy. Right? But if you look in the thought balloons, we all have the same thoughts. Yeah. So you're not the only one with Freudian slips. You are. 12 times a year.
Okay, so
months. And Srila Prabhupada said that we don't follow maybe all kinds of Vedic ritual, but we are taking shelter of the holy name and one should chant 50 rounds before as a matter of purification to attract a good soul. It's a whole thing. And ask blessings. Of course, spiritual master may just give a blank check, Bless, go for it. But still, blessings of a Vaishnava are very powerful. So if someone asks for blessings, to because that will help to attract a better child. And of course, there is a little bit of satisfying the senses also coming in. Automatic. Not forbidden to that aspect of it.
Hare Krishna. Am I right in thinking that marriage is seven nights?
Marriage, seven nights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. What about that? You know? It is said if marriage is performed with a proper sacrifice, a Vedic sacrifice, then that marriage is for seven lives. However, if you are a devotee, we are living a different life. We are not living the life of Vedic culture. We are living a transcendental life. So we may not have seven lives. Yeah. So what happens, yeah, if you're going back to the spiritual world? Then what? Then what? Then you might wind up being married forever, or together somehow or other forever. Not always married. In my book, we have the twin brothers, and Pankajangri one time said, yes, we were husband and wife in previous life, and I was the wife. He said that as a quote for data. that may also happen, or maybe some twins or something, somehow or other, but stay together. The wife gets all the benefits of whatever advancement the husband makes, and the husband he gets 50% of the karma of the wife, but he doesn't get the benefits.
But my question is, the wife, is she
Vedic
or is a Vaishnava?
Yes.
When the husband, let's say, or person married a Vaishnava, or let's say a husband himself. I mean, he share also the 50 qualities.
Yes. Still these things are there.
How rigidly we can follow Garbhadhana Samskar? If in a couple, there would be like some complexities in conceiving or. Like, is the consciousness more important or the God?
I shortly mentioned it in relation to answering her question that we are not following the Vedic system of Garbhadhana Samskara, which gives many intricate rituals for purification. Srila Prabhupada replaced those rituals with chanting 50 rounds. So that's what we basically do. But there are appropriate times. We follow the appropriate times and avoid the inappropriate times. Because Bhagavatam makes a big issue about the inappropriate time. Remember, Diti Kasyapa, that was out of hand. You know, we don't want you to have a little Hiranyakasipu when you're in the
Thank you.
is a key item to remain in Brahmachari Ashram? As you mentioned, that sex desire always is there.
There's two things. One is understanding, a deep understanding of the goal of life, how short life is, and that the goal is to develop love of God, and that there's no time to waste, and therefore we come to a determination. I will dedicate this life to attaining spiritual success, and then submitting to a culture to support that decision. Don't think that I'm so powerful that just on determination alone I can do it. It requires Vaishnava culture and etiquette. It requires cultivation of remembrance of Krishna. Therefore, sravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, always hearing, chanting, and remembering. And serving, being a humble servant in the association of the devotees. Then you can strengthen that determination. But if you don't have a culture, and you just, in previous times in ISKCON sometimes, well, if you're not married, then you're a brahmachari. So here's your session clothes. And don't let us catch you talking to the women because you're going to get you married. And that was it, basically. There was nothing else. So previously, automatically, you were a brahmachari, what it meant, nobody knew. There was no culture. Then it's hard to maintain. And then one loses the motivation on the way. Why am I doing this? Well, why are we doing this? Because we want to go back to God in this lifetime. And why get entangled in so many things? Why take a job in the post office?
Thank you, Brian.
Once, twice, thrice. If then you're still sure, go for it. Thank you very much. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Marge, for super inspiring and enlightening. Maybe if you want to match, it's been